Hi, you're listening to Love on Air, a show where I interview people about anything that is love related. My name is Hanna Naidin, and I am a love and relationship coach, a speaker, and a yoga teacher. This program is recorded live every Monday at Haarlem 105 in the Netherlands. And in this episode, I am talking with an expert of nanominerals. And instead of love, we dove deep into health. If you have any comments, please write them below. And enjoy. And I'm going to see if we can just go on in English today. And I just believe that everybody speaks English. What do you think?
I denk it ook.
Okay, Steven.
Yes. Handan.
How long have you been in Holland?
17 years.
Did you ever have a problem speaking English?
Nooit.
How is that possible?
Well, actually, I have to admit, yeah, I did on when I had my first job, I was a Winkel Inrichter, actually for the Vee and Day. And everybody I worked with, even though they knew I didn't speak a word of English, they spoke only Dutch to me. And I'm so grateful to them for it because it's how I got to learn a little bit of Nederlands.
That's how you learn Dutch.
Yeah,
that's
they
nice.
Just spoke to that and my children. My children taught me too because my kids are Dutch utterly. And I learned Nederlands to praten met mijn kinderen.
How can you say that your children are utterly Dutch?
Because you have to understand my son, you know, he's lived in America, he's lived here, but he's never wanted to be anywhere but Nederlands. That's it for him. You know, I mean, he speaks English, but he refused to speak English to me for years just because, you know, he wanted to make sure that everybody understood his identity is Nederlands.
But does he love Holland that much?
His friends are here. He's a teenager. You know, it's what he knows. It's what he's comfortable with. It's what he likes. You know, he's had the experience of living in Florida. You know, I mean, what kid wouldn't want to live in Florida for a couple of years? Not him, not my kid. He didn't want it.
So funny what you're saying. So he didn't want to, that's interesting, but he likes it here in Holland.
Yeah, this is, to him, this is home. You know, he doesn't want to go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for holidays, sure, but he does not want to live anywhere else.
And you have, why did you choose Haarlem or to live in?
Well, I didn't. I mean, I live in Zandvoort aan Zee.
Wow. This is for Haarlem, Zandvoort, Heemstede. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I came here with a Dutch girl and she had, her father had a little house and we came to look after him. He died. And, you know, I mean, my hobby is racing motorcycles. And there is this wonderful circuit in Zandvoort. And then they also have a beach. You know, I mean, and if you squint in the summer, then you could be anywhere on the Mediterranean coast if it's, you know, a good day weather-wise. So I figured out that I'd landed in heaven. And, you know, I never wanted to go.
So good. So your son has your genes.
I guess he does. Yeah. He also liked racing too.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's very nice.
Yeah.
But Steven, I invited you here by chance, actually, that today was the day that you came, because today was the day that you could come. But you're the director of the Health Factory, which is really, I didn't plan it this way, but it worked out perfectly, I think, that you're because from Winkel Inrichter, you became the director of the Health Factory.
Yeah.
What is the Health Factory?
The Health Factory
or the
is
the founder. How do I call you?
Yeah, founder, director, whatever. You know,
okay.
I mean, I answer to both hats.
Okay.
Well, the Health Factory is a manufacturer and groothandelaar of the nano minerals, and we have brought back very, very old food supplements that have been forgotten, that are utterly, utterly essential for our existence. And in this time as well, you know, with what's going on right now, you know, silver has been used for, well, ever since there was humanity, as a protector against infection, against bacteria, against virus, fungus, you name it.
But tell me, how did you ever come with the idea to start the health factory?
Well, what happened was I had an eye infection back in my last lifetime when I was living in London and I was being a photographer. And I would get this eye infection. It would keep coming back year after year. And each time it got worse and worse. And I was getting injections in my eye of steroids, cortisone. I would have an injection in the eye twice a day. It was ruining my body. I mean, I was blowing up. I blew up like a beach ball every time this happened. I wasn't able to work. You know, you need your eyes as a photographer. Funny that, but you actually do. My then girlfriend, said to me, "Stephen, you idiot. Why don't you try colloidal silver?" Now we're going back about 20 odd years. And there wasn't any on the market to be had for love or money. You just couldn't, it didn't exist on the market. And eventually we found this bottle of this brown, yellowy liquid in this brown plastic bottle. And I thought, I really don't like the look of it. But I thought, you know what? I like getting stabbed in the eye slightly less. So I thought I'd try it. And I drank it and I put it in my eye and, a week later, this eye infection was gone. I'd had this for 7 years.
And didn't you think it was like luck? Like it wasn't, did you ever think it was lucky or something? Just asking, because people will ask that, you know, but will say like, wasn't it just like the steroids worked well, or how did that go?
Well, here's what happened. I stopped taking the steroids when I started taking this silver product. And when I realized my eye was getting better, I was fascinated and I went straight to the ophthalmologist, the eye doctor, the guy who stabbed me in the eye on a daily basis. He wears a white coat. Yeah. And so I went and I asked him, I said, "Excuse me, why didn't you tell me about this stuff?" And he was like, "Cause I didn't know." And that shocked me. I mean, you have to understand, back then I was a photographer. I didn't know anything about health. I didn't know about naturopathy, homeopathy, allopathy, Western medicine, Eastern. I didn't know anything about it and I didn't care. All right. This guy wore a white coat and he's the expert and he's supposed to know. And yeah. He didn't. So that shocked me. This was like a changing moment for me, because now I had to recognize that the guys in the white coats don't know everything. So I threw myself into research. And the thing that really fascinated me, don't forget, I told you I was a photographer. Mm-hmm. Back then, I'm old. I'm very old. Back then, photography was based on silver. We used something that my children's generation know nothing about. It's called film. You know, they have no idea. You show them a camera and you pull out a roll of film and put it into a camera and they think this is some kind of black magic. They have no idea what you're doing. To them, photography is done with phones. This is before mobile phones, mm-hmm. Okay? That's how old I am. Silver I had worked with every day of my life. Silver was the magical thing that gave us imagery. Without the fact that silver is oxidized by light, there would not be a single photograph anywhere in the world today. That is a huge gift that silver has given to society. And now suddenly my eyesight is saved by silver. So there you understand my utter fascination with this subject.
And it's so interesting to see that you made that connection with the photography. So that was silver. And then you had the silver stuff, you know, so you brought that together, basically.
Well, I can tell you that if I had not been a photographer, the Health Factory wouldn't exist today. It's because I was the only thing, I didn't know anything about health, but one thing I did know is that silver is oxidized by light. And so I knew that this product that I had found and had consumed was a very poor quality product. Why? Because it's in a brown plastic bottle and light passes through this brown plastic, and that light is oxidizing the silver every minute, every second of the day. So I knew what was in that bottle was low quality. And even then, it saved my eyesight.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting.
What's Gebert?
Your Dutch is really good.
That wasn't what you said to me when you asked me to do this interview.
No, I didn't. You remember what I said?
Yeah.
But I... God. Okay, let's... Let's go on what we were talking about. Because you told me how you found colloidal silver.
Yeah.
And how you thought, like, hey, this is something really special, as I understand.
Oh yeah. Well, that's an understatement. That's a total understatement. I mean, you know, silver was my bread and butter. You have to understand, up until that point in time, I had been earning my money as a photographer using silver every day. I had my fingers in solution. I developed my own work. So, you know, I was in contact with silver on a daily basis as a photographer.
Oh, okay. I get it. So, but this is interesting. So you found that silver, you were really interested in it, but how did you get to make your company from it? How did that go? I mean, that's still a jump, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, you see, the thing was, I'd had this epiphany. All right. I suddenly realized, oh my God, you know, here is this silver in water that saved my eyesight. Okay. And nobody knows about it. And then I found out that the American government had been suppressing it. The European Union is suppressing it. Everybody is suppressing it.
So by suppressing, you mean basically they know it?
Yep.
But they don't
sure
say.
Do.
But
they do
they really know it?
Yeah, they
okay.
do. They definitely know. There's no doubt about it. They've seen the science. You know, the largest silver company in the world, Sovereign Silver, it's an American company, very good company. They presented a tremendous amount of science to the EU. And we know they're just sitting on it and squashing it. It's the Council of Europe. I believe you said it was the Council of Europe. They're squashing it because of their relationship with pharmaceutical industries. It's an extremely beneficial financial relationship, and the pharmaceutical industry does not want any form of colloid coming into the natural health market, even though it is the oldest form of food supplement and medicine anywhere.
But tell me, we're going to come back to this, what you're saying, but tell me, so you thought this colloidal silver is like something really new, different, and this is what you're going to do. So you left photography and you went into the colloidal silver.
Well, it didn't go quite like that. You see, what happened at that time was, I mean, when I used it for my own health, I was just telling everybody in England I knew about this stuff. And I was saying, you have got to use it. And I was just turning everybody onto it because I was so blown away by it. But then, you know, I was dating, I told you I had this Dutch girlfriend, and we decided we were going to come to Holland. And we came here, and then suddenly it's like, oh my God, I have no photographic business anymore. You know, it's like, I'm just basically, well, we've got this little fisherman's cottage in the dorp in Zandvoort. No real way to make a living, but I had started making colloidal silver. I'd been making my own colloidal silver, and you know, people, my friends I was starting to make in the village would ask me about it. And, you know, I would give it to them and they would use it. And, you know, people would get results from it and come back and ask me for more, you know. And yeah, I had all kinds of complaints. I had a woman who had a severe fungal infection, a yeast infection, because she was addicted to cheese and mushrooms. And she'd been out with her husband the other night. Her husband is like my best buddy. And she came to the house and was like, "Stephen, you have got to give me this silver because it's the only thing that ever handled it." And she was literally, I mean, you could see she was physically in pain. And then I thought, you know what? Maybe I could make some money out of this. And so I basically I didn't know what I was doing. I just started selling it to anybody. I mean, it literally, you know, just what I even went to Rauhort, you know, with it and started trying to sell it there, you know, and people just looked at me like, you know, I was out of my gourd. People didn't think, you know, there I was with my dreadlocks down to my ass trying to sell them a health product.
Did you have dreadlocks? I'm going to post a picture of you and me later, but you had dreadlocks?
Yeah, down to my ass. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was very proud of my dreadlocks.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Go on. So you were selling colloidal silver.
Yeah.
You made it yourself.
Yeah.
And then you went all the way everywhere with your dreadlocks.
That yeah, and I was just selling it door to door. And then eventually I bumped into a rather famous dentist in Holland who's a friend of my girlfriend's family. And he said to me, he was also a member of the Biologische Tandartsvereniging.
Very good.
And he said to me, "You know, Stephen, if you could put a label on this and bottle it properly, I could use it in my praktijk because we give... especially elder patients who come in for an operation, we have to give them antibiotics, and I'm looking for a more natural, healthier, less damaging alternative. And silver could be just that." And I showed him the science on it, and I went and I got a proper label, and he started selling it, and he became my first proper kind of retail outlet. There was a few other Biologische Tandarts that jumped onto this bandwagon. But you see, the thing is, there's a thing about Tandarts. They have their own kind of way of living. You know, they do not, most of them look down their nose. Do you know what I mean by when I say look down their nose? They're kind of snobby about the idea of selling products.
Yeah, you know, of course, so, yeah. Yeah.
It's not, you know, they don't, they it's beneath them. You know, they prefer to make their living by selling their services, and quite right too. You know, they're highly educated, and they are practitioners of a wonderful craft who everyone's terrified of.
That's true.
Sorry. But anyways, so, you know, it really didn't work for me to do it that way. And eventually I met this guy who is the head of a very large brand of vitamins who we won't mention now, but he actually helped me a lot, and I'm very grateful to him. Thanks, Michael. He showed me that what I was doing was I was actually building a brand, because up until that time I didn't even realize I was building a brand. That was like so far from my thoughts. I was going to save the world. Okay, that was my no. Seriously,
no. But I mean, that's but this my, is. I think this is the best way to start something.
Oh! I was absolutely on a mission. I mean, you know, it's like I found this stuff. It kills every pathogen, which is a virus, fungus, and bacteria that it was ever tested on. There were one or two exceptions, but everything it was tested on, it kills. And it's been shown that it actually promotes the good bacteria if it's done at the right quality. You know, this was absolutely, this is revolutionary. You know, this is new news, folks. I mean, really. And it's going to change the world. Totally. It's exactly what everybody needs right now. You know, I mean, you saw you tonight, you wouldn't even give me a kiss. It was ridiculous. People are, you know, the guy in the office next door to me, I go in, you know, to ask him a question because he's an accountant and I sometimes hit him up for some free advice. And he's like, oh, no, you can't, nee, we mag niet handschudden, can't shake hands, you know. I was like, why? What are you afraid of? And he's like, what are you, corona. I'm like, you know.
It's not basically for me, and I think a lot of people are like that. It's not that I'm afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. I mean, I haven't been sick, I think, in the last 5, 6, 10 years. I don't know how many. But I'm always afraid that I'm the carrier and I can give it. That's more what I'm afraid of than being ill, basically.
Well, that's a very, very publicly minded viewpoint that you have.
That's everybody has that. Yeah, that's everybody, basically what everybody has. But... another question, because before we go in, because we have a lot of time, another question. So you started your brand. I'm going to go back to your brand. I'm sorry. So you started your brand very, very small, but now your brand is zinc, silver, gold, platinum.
Don't forget magnesium.
Magnesium, of course, yes. So you have like all these, and you have copper even, copper and zinc, I think, together. All these things together. What happened there? So you went from the silver, you went a step further.
Yes, I did.
I mean, I'm trying to comprise, how do you say that, 20 years, I think like half an hour or something.
It's really hard. It's a lot longer than that if you think about, if you include into that the research that I did before, you're talking probably, what, 30, 35 years, maybe more.
Exactly.
It's a lot of time that went into it.
Yeah. But tell me, how did you move from the silver to
all the other metals? Well, the first thing that I did was I moved into what's called the noble metals, the precious metals, gold, platinum. There's 8 of them. And the reason why is because it turns out silver is actually a member of this special group of metals. If you go to your doctor and you say to him, tell me about the noble metals, he'll probably say, well, I don't know anything about that. If you then go to him and say, tell me about the medicinal metals, you'll get a different answer. He'll say to you, the platinum-based metals, of course. Well, you know, chemotherapy is based on the platinum-based metals. And silver... is a type of platinum. Gold is a type of platinum. 8 of these metals.
Name them. Say silver, gold.
Gold, platinum. Rhodium, ruthenium, osmium, iridium, and palladium. So when you dig a piece of platinum out of the ground, it comes with all those metals. Now, silver, as I've told you, is very special because it kills all the bad stuff that makes us ill, including virus. And yes, including, and it has been tested on older forms of coronavirus, because coronavirus has been around a very long time.
Yes.
Virus has been around as long as there's been mankind, even longer. And silver is effective against all forms of virus. And anyways, this is another story.
But we're going to go into that. But just go on with the other metals for me, because there's going to be even more. Yeah.
So each one of these metals I found actually has totally, totally mind-blowing effects and benefits for humanity when consumed in a pure state, in the right, correct form. And that's the difficulty, is getting it into this correct high-end colloidal form, which is the only way that it really works.
And what do you mean by high-end colloidal form?
Well, a colloid basically is like, for example, hot chocolate. Okay, hot chocolate, everybody loves it. It's a type of colloid. You've got chocolate particles in another medium, which is milk. And they're floating around in this medium, and that's called a colloid. Mm-hmm. You know, there's more. There are more technical definitions, and it depends on the particle size of your chocolate or your silver or your gold. The higher the quality, the finer the particle size. Okay, the finer it is, the easier it will get into the bloodstream. Like, for example, let's take, for example, silver, seeing as we started talking about silver, and let's say you are talking about Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease or mad cow disease. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a virus, and it's the most dangerous form of virus because it's called a picovirus, and that is, all that means is it's one of the smallest virus. And when it's that small, it can get through the blood-brain barrier, the Harrison's Blutgrenz mm-hmm. barrier, or whatever it is. And if it can get through the blood-brain barrier, it gets into the nervous system, into the brain, and then you have some serious problems. Now, if you're going to get something to handle that, it needs to be equally small so that it can get through the blood-brain barrier. This is what I'm talking about by quality. So 10 nanometers is the blood-brain barrier. You know, I need to change tack on you for a second because I really need to say that I've got to protect myself here, and I forgot. I forgot to say something very important. And
that is
that I am speaking from my own experience as a human being of flesh and blood. And I am not speaking as a director of any organization or any company. I'm just talking about my life, my experience, and I'm using and utilizing my right to freedom of speech. And I have to do that. I have to say that because our phenomenal Dutch government would like nothing more than to give me a 30,000 euro fine and violate my freedom of speech rights if I mentioned a product or a brand or something making health claims.
But Stephen, tell me something. Why is that? I've been trying all the time not to think that the government is bad or something, but why is it that for something so like silver, what has been there for thousands of years, and the colloidal silver, you said 200 years, I guess.
Yeah.
And why is it that the government does not want things like that in this country, the world, whatever?
It's a real good question. You know, if you go back to pre-40s, penicillin came into the world, and I think it was 1940, and then you had the evolution of the pharmaceutical cartel. In World War I, it didn't exist. British government used colloidal silver to protect the British army in Europe fighting the war from the influenza plague. And they survived. A high percentage of the British Army survived that plague, influenza plague, because they were using silver. You know, that's a viral attack as well, that plague.
But why wouldn't the government or whatever want this to be known?
Because, well, I'm getting there.
Yeah. sorry.
You see,
thought you forgot the question.
after that war in the 40s, this is when you start getting the pharmaceuticals developing, making all these antibiotics. Now, here's the answer that you're looking for. Antibiotics, okay? If you look at the biggest money-making industries in the world.
Yeah, those are the pharmaceuticals.
Let's talk about the billion-dollar annual turnover of billion euro companies. We're looking at oil companies. We're looking at movie companies. We're looking at weapons industries. We're looking at, take the porn industry, because that's a big one too. Mm. Put them all together. All those billion-dollar industries, mm-hmm. put them all together. They don't come close to what antibiotics earns on an annual basis.
Really?
Antibiotics is the biggest money-making product in the history of civilization. It is $1 trillion a year industry.
Because it's used for everything and anything.
Everything. Huh? It's in everything. Yeah. It's so overused and it doesn't work anymore. And here's the kicker. The kicker is that the pharmaceutical industry stopped developing antibiotics in 1987. People don't know that. I mean, we're facing a plague right now. And you know what? I hate saying that because there's no reason to be afraid of corona. I am not afraid of corona. Nobody needs to be afraid of corona. Why? Because all you really need to do is to support your immune system and make sure that your immune system is in good shape and you have nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what your age is. It's about your immune system. And we can talk about that later because mm-hmm. I'm jumping around subjects yes, now. Yes, yes. I do that a lot. But the answer to your yes. question is money. The biggest money maker in the history of civilization is antibiotics. It has made the pharmaceutical industry the most powerful industry in the world. And governments are not immune to financial duress. They are not immune to money. We all know it's the big companies that have the influence on our government. Well, the biggest companies are the pharmaceuticals. So how much influence do they have? They do not want the noble metals in colloid form coming onto the market. They do not want people taking probiotics, which people desperately need. They do not want people supplementing with gold. Why is gold so damned valuable in our society? Why did it ever become valuable in the first place? Nobody can answer that.
Mm-hmm,
I'll tell you why. It's the oldest known food supplement in the world. It's the world's first medicine. You know, gold, every single neurotransmitter in your brain has at least 2 atoms of gold in it. Now, your brain does trillions of neurotransmissions every day. That's a huge amount of electrical activity. Atoms of gold are super halident. They're mm-hmm. superconductors. And you don't have gold in your diet, okay?
No, so you run out
of that. And this is why people, as they get older, lose their mental acuity, lose their sharpness. This is a cause for a huge amount of problems. We need gold in our diet. We must give our neurotransmitters gold atoms. Otherwise, we simply lose IQ. It's mm-hmm. that simple.
But what you're saying is what I always find interesting is that, so governments push antibiotics, they push all kinds of things because they, is it governments or is it like pharmaceutical industry who does that?
I'm sorry, what's the difference?
Okay, point made.
You're right, government are the middlemen.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, they work for the people who pay them.
That's basically it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the pharmaceuticals.
But it sounds also sad, you know, even in, you know, in this country, because we all think we're free and we all think we make free choices. Yes, we do think that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
But I, you know, we do think that, but it's very hard to say like what is, and especially because I'm in all kinds of groups, as you know, because I teach yoga and I teach at different schools, and I see all these apps of people, and a lot of people are in app groups at this moment, and all these things that people are saying, and people are saying all the time, like, oh, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and we can't touch this, we can't even work anymore. I don't know. It feels disastrous almost, is what is happening now.
Are you looking for me to argue with you? I mean, no, I'm in utter agreement with you. You know, is there a question?
No, but I find this really a hard time. I can tell you that. But you know it. It's a really a hard time, I find it.
I mean, do you really want me to go into my thoughts and beliefs on that?
You can do that for 4 minutes. We have 4 minutes.
Okay, let me put it to you like this, all right? Money used to be based on gold.
Mm-hmm.
A government
yes.
could not produce money, any new paper, unless they had gold to back it up. That stopped on the 5th of June 1933 in the U.S. and around the rest of the world within a few years of that date. After that time, money was printed at the whim of the government with no...
You mean with the whim of the government if the government wants it?
Yes. If the government wanted more money in the economy, if the government wanted to stimulate the economy, they printed more notes. They printed more money, and then there was money for people to use to trade, and suddenly everything started booming. If they wanted to suppress the economy, they stopped printing money. And then suddenly people were broke and they didn't have any money to pay for anything. And that is the simplicity of it. Okay. Here's the thing. Let me ask you this question. Okay. If money is not backed by gold and a government can produce as much money as it wants, what is the reason for taxation?
I thought about this. This is like, yeah, what is the reason for taxation? There is no reason for taxation.
Exactly
at all.
Right.
So, yeah.
There is no need for taxation at all. Mm-hmm. I do not believe there is.
Yes.
You know, if money was backed by gold, then yes, there would be a legitimate reason for taxation, because then a government could not produce what it needs.
But don't they use the taxes, which I hope they always do, they use it for schools,
you're going there. You're really going to make me... oh boy. Okay,
is... What taxes should be used for? That's what I think.
Yes.
And I understand that you... Yeah, they're not.
They're not. Look, what happens is that government decides what their budget is at the beginning of the fiscal year. And then let's say Holland has decided it needs $100 billion for its budget for this year. Okay? So it writes on a piece of paper... I owe you $100 billion. And that's called a bond. Mm-hmm. All it is simply an IOU. All right. And then they shoot that down the road to the European Central Bank down there in Frankfurt. And then the European Central Bank sends back a whole heap of digital money, $100 billion. And there's the Dutch budget for the year. What happens to the tax money? And that's what pays for the schools. That's mm-hmm. what pays for the teachers. That's what pays for the hospitals. That's what pays for the doctors. That's what pays for the road building, for you name it. That's what the government, the ambtenaren's salaries, all of that stuff gets paid for out of that money from the European Central Bank.
Where does the tax money go?
It goes to the central bank.
It just goes to the central bank.
Yeah.
To do what?
To pay the interest
of the IOU?
Except here's the thing. What just happened? Well, the central bank sent a bunch of money, which didn't exist until the Dutch government sent a bond asking for the money. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between the bond and the money? There is no difference. No. So why the hell do we owe the European Central Bank anything? How dare they take our tax money? How can they do that? They haven't earned it. They've done nothing for it. And we, the citizens of Europe, no longer own our own currency. We don't own the euro. It's not ours. It doesn't belong to us.
But this is so interesting, but it's I do need some more of that gold to let my brain work better. Every time when I hear these things, I'm like, oh my God. But this is very, but okay. So we went a bit of a side road
again.
Yeah,
we did.
But it is very interesting to see, you know, that the government does not endorse things like a natural health things.
No, it doesn't. It's ridiculous. You know, I mean, we're I've heard doctors say things like, we're not interested in probiotics. I mean, you know, probiotics are about 80% of your immune system. How can a doctor not be interested in that?
Mm-hmm. Because most doctors are, I mean, I think, surgeons
yeah.
are more there to cut than to, you know, but for doctors, I'm always a bit, they're more there, seems to me, to listen to you than to give you advice to what you should do.
Well, quite honestly, I think a doctor is little more than a salesperson for a pharmaceutical catalog of drugs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the a doctor's education is basically based on the Merck book of remedies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't believe they spend more than a few days studying about the basics of probiotics, minerals.
No, I think they get one
and
day.
And vitamins,
you
know, and
that's
ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Pharmaceuticals do not want you taking food supplements. They do not want you basically rebuilding your immune system and your cellular health, because if you do that, you are less likely to need their drugs. And that's bad for business.
Yes, it is. That is for sure.
And so, we're talking about the biggest business. And unfortunately, the governments of Europe are supporting that viewpoint. If you look at how the rules that govern the natural health industry are made, who makes them? They are recommended by a group called the Codex Alimentarius. And the Codex Alimentarius is a group of ex-pharmaceutical industry employees who now work for this independent think tank called the Codex Alimentarius. And all they do is recommend rules and laws that favor the pharmaceutical industry. Why? Because that's all they know.
Okay.
They don't know anything about natural health. Yes, yes.
Okay, we're going to talk about this more later. Well, we're back.
Yeah, I don't think we went away.
I think we just kept on talking while the music was on. Well, oh wow, that was kind of interesting. But when you're new at this, sometimes things will go wrong a little bit, but okay.
You know, the best part of any radio show, when I used to listen to radio a lot in the car, you know, before the internet, the best part was when the DJ screwed up. You know, that was what everybody giggled about. You know, that was always the most fun.
Oh, I did radio before also, but then there was always a guy who was doing all the little things, and I only had to talk, so that was always good. But now I have to talk and do the music and do all the little things. So yeah, but that's not it's just the way it is. But we were talking about nanominerals, or
oh no, we got deep into conspiracy theory.
I know, but you call it a conspiracy theory also.
No, I don't.
You just
said
it. I just
call it history. Yeah, I know. But that's because that's what most people think of it as. It's not conspiracy theory to me at all. It's just history that's been hidden from humanity. That's all it is. Knowledge that's just been hidden.
But why do you think it's hidden? Because of money? Or is there different reasons?
Money is nothing. It is irrelevant. It is a nothingness. It is smoke and mirrors. That's what money is.
Well, why does it get hidden?
But, well, it's a control. Money is a method of control. Because it is scarce, and it isn't scarce. There is all the money in the world. Money is actually as common as toilet paper, but they don't let you know that. It's control. It's power. It's a way of keeping us, stopping humanity from opening their eyes and looking around for, you know, a deeper meaning. They don't want people doing that. They want you working. They want you going to work. They want you paying your taxes. Can you imagine?
And they want you to get scared also.
They absolutely control your emotions. I mean, Corona is a typical control mechanism. It creates terror. It creates fear and panic amongst people.
Oh, well, we saw that.
We see that. It's totally not necessary. I mean, Corona has a lower kill ratio than the common flu.
At the day I think that Corona broke out, and I am not saying that Corona is not bad for all the people who are listening, but the day that Corona came, the first day of Corona, I think, no, it's 10 February. No, 10 February is not the first day. 108 people died in China, and on the same day, 26,000 people died of cancer. 25,000 people died of heart failure. 25,000.
Mm, yeah.
4,300 people died of diabetes. And I think, no, not even I think, 2,700 people died of just like a bug biting you. 1,300 yeah. people died with other people who killed them. And 108 people died of snakes. And that day, 108 people in China died of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Just to put it in perspective, basically. Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Because I am familiar with those figures. They're doing the rounds at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember them out of my head. But
yeah, I had them written
down. Well done. The really interesting one, and I don't recall it, but there's a big difference, is the number of people who died of the flu.
Mm, yes.
On the same day.
Yes.
Because that is way bigger than the number of people who died from corona. And it just puts it in perspective. What the hell are the governments doing?
No, but and all the numbers that people are saying are not with other numbers. It's just like...
I think on its own.
It's all on its own. Yeah, so like now I think 19 people have corona in Haarlem and Zandvoort and Heemstede. Mm-hmm. It's 19 people. But what kind of other things do we have?
Right.
19 right. versus what?
Right, exactly.
You know, so that's all the time like the big thing. You're all, every time you're thinking like, so 19, but then what? Mm-hmm. You know, and what happens to these 19?
Exactly. You know, it's really interesting. I mean, my daughter has a broken arm.
Yeah.
And she was actually supposed to get her plaster off today. But the hospital called me and said, look, we don't want you to come in. So what do you mean? I mean, she's got to get her hips up. Well, you know what? If it's not so important, I mean, if she's okay, you know, we'd just rather you didn't come in. We'll call you back. We'll call you back in, you know, whatever, a week or so and make another appointment. A week? I mean, my daughter wants to get out of that plaster. You know, she wants out of that hips. But they postponed it. There's no reason why. No reason why. I mean, you know, why would they do that? I don't understand that.
Was it maybe too busy? Because that's what it sounds to me like.
Why is it busy? They're telling you if you've got a flu-like symptom, stay away.
Yeah, but people are going, yeah, I don't know why.
The doctors don't want to see you. The hospitals don't want to see you. Even if you don't have the corona, but you just have something that could be. They don't want to see you.
But what I understood from Italy, and last week I had an interview with an Italian guy here about a totally different, about love, basically. We were talking about
that's
love.
That's what we were supposed to talk about.
We should talk about that also, yeah. But we were talking, and so, but he told me that in Italy, like the hospitals, a lot of people were in hospitals, and that even doctors could not handle it. And they basically had to say, okay, we're going to help you and we're not going to help you. That's the story behind
it.
Right. You're looking at me like, that is not true?
No, that's called triage, you know. But, I mean, my daughter is not even, I mean, all she needs is to get her arm taken out of her hips. You know, I mean, I quite frankly, I'm thinking about doing it myself.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
No, you take a pair of scissors and off it comes.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't have much faith in this government at all. I'm sorry, I just don't.
No, I don't. Yeah,
I don't have faith in a government that believes in high taxation because it's so not necessary. And this is a government of very high taxation.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But that's really true. And the bad thing about it is, at this moment, not having. All those small companies and those small, you know, like the cake shop we were talking about, you know, all these kind of small shops, the restaurants, the horeca, all has to shut down.
Yeah.
And that is killing for people. I'm also a zelfstandig ondernemer. I can't go and work anymore because it's all shut down.
It's all shut down. I know. Yeah. It's terrible. I mean, you know, we were just talking about your friend with mm-hmm. the cake shop that I went to visit. You know, and it was just the feeling that you got from her as soon as you walked in was so sad. I mean, you could see it. She was terrified. Mm-hmm. This poor woman, you know, I mean, she's afraid she's going to lose her business in a very short period of time. And there must be so many small businesses that are just going to go fajit.
Yes.
You know, because of this. And, you know. It's horrible.
This is what I...
And it's not necessary.
Yeah, and this is what I don't understand about the government. You know, how you can just shut those things down and basically say it has to be shut down. And then, and also the fact that Dutch people are just saying yes to it.
Yeah, well, you know what?
That's the part what I don't understand also.
That's because you are partially not Dutch.
Is that okay. the reason?
Yeah, because I have the same thing. It's like I cannot understand
because
how the Dutch mentality.
If I would have my own company, I would again say we're just going to go on, because nobody's going to stop me from making money, and not only making money, but just saying like, just because of this reason, you know. If I can control it, because last week it was less than 100 people, then it was like less than 50 people. And if you had a company where less than 50 people, then you could go on, you know. So there's something really fishy about it.
Oh, the whole thing stinks completely.
It does, doesn't
top
it?
To bottom, yeah. Top to bottom. I mean, you know, the numbers that you just read out. Mm-hmm. That tells you, okay, something's not right here. We're being lied to yet again. Let's take the French government, for example. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, they've shut down all the restaurants and cafes and everything, and yet they allowed people to vote.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, you talk about the rankest form of hypocrisy. I wonder why that is. Why would they allow people to vote? You know what? I tell you, I have this theory. You see, people say to me when I talk, because sometimes I do these talks, and I always end up coming up with, you know, my philosophy about life and government, et cetera, et cetera. And they say to me, well, Stephen, if I agreed with you, what could I do about it? And I say it's real easy. You know, I mean, the thing is that it is the large majority of the population that have the power and the authority. It's just that they have been convinced that they don't. And they say, yeah, but well, how do we take that power back? Well, it's real simple. The one thing that the government is really, really keen for you to do, that they push you to do, that they spend loads of money charming you into doing, is voting. Why is that? Well, because that is you agreeing. You see, you're looking at your
That's
parties,
like a
you
sign,
know, the VVD,
you're
the
signing
Partij van de Arbeid. It's you're choosing. You're saying, I want this slave master rather than that slave master to beat me with a stick and force me to do things I don't want to do and steal my money from me. And that's what voting is all about.
But this is so interesting what you're saying, because this basically just, and the fact that I know Dutch people, I'm born and raised in Holland, but we are so nice. Only the farmers, you remember the farmers?
Love them.
They just said, if we do not get our money, we're just going to go into and we're just going to march in there with our tractors.
Bless the farmers.
And
those guys are my heroes,
they
man. The Dutch farmers, they are the only part of this country that actually has a pair of balls left. I mean, they rock. They are
superstars. This is basically what we should do also. We want different things and we want them now.
You know what? The next time there's an election, if everybody said, I'm not voting, what would happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you had 40%, 30% of the population turn around and said, you know what? I'm so done with this bullshit. Excuse me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, and yeah, you can say all these things. Yeah.
Yeah, you can say it in Holland, can't you?
Yeah.
You just say, look, I'm done with this bullshit. It's the system that is wrong here. It's not the political parties, because nothing ever changes. The only thing that happens is taxes go up. more and more taxes, yes. More and more people having to hold down two and three jobs just to make ends meet, just to mm-hmm. feed their families. And that's wrong. And that it doesn't matter which political party you've got, because all they're trying to do is tax you into oblivion.
Yes. What I always was thinking that maybe we should have like 2% or even 1% of the money we give to our taxes, we ourselves say which ministry we want to give it to, like to education or to, and that's what I would want, you know, that I would say have like 1% or even 5% of my own money, say like, okay, this is what I want to give to one of the, let me choose instead of a party in between chooses for me where the money goes.
But there's no choice in where your money goes.
No, but that's what I want. That's what I'm saying.
Go to paying for schooling or
education. But that's what I want. No, you just explained that. Yeah. Stephen.
Yes. Handan.
Let's go back to into English again.
Okay.
So we were talking about... about so many things.
Yep.
But I still want to go back to the medals, the Nobel medals, as you said.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want to teach people also something about the Nobel medals, because you have a lot of information about the Nobel medals. So you just talked about gold and said we all have to have a little bit of gold in our brain, basically.
Yes, absolutely.
And we don't get that.
No. We do have gold in our brain, okay? I mean, without that, our brains wouldn't function, you know? I mean, you have gold in every single neurotransmitter in your brain, and you have trillions of neurotransmitters,
mm-hmm.
all right? This is your brain is an incredibly powerful electrical device. And gold in its single atom state is super collident. It's a superconductor. So now you can imagine what happens if you start losing those superconductors, which you do. Neurotransmitters burn out. That gold is consumed. Mm. So when you lose those gold atoms, you know, they need to be replaced. And of course, gold is not allowed to be sold as a food supplement.
No,
especially not in the form that would make it bioavailable, opnambar.
Yeah, I understand. And same goes, of course, for silver.
Well, silver is different because silver is not essential for life, but silver is extremely powerful if used in extremely fine quantities and in extremely fine particle size. The body can use it to very powerful end, killing virus, fungus, and bacteria.
This is also, so that's silver, that's gold. Then you have platinum.
Now, platinum is a different ball game. Platinum is, let me tell you very briefly a story from 1845. A scientist called Michele Perone was looking at people with cancer, and he found that people with cancer were going into the apothecaries, and they were coming out with a preparation of colloidal platinum. Mm-hmm. And this would get rid of their cancer. And he was fascinated by that. And he's the first person to put nanoparticles of pure platinum under a microscope with cancer cells. And his observation was that the cancer cells ceased cell division in the presence of the platinum, meaning the platinum killed the cancer cells.
But you also said that in chemotherapy, they use platinum.
Yes, but here's the thing. What happened with Perone was that he made this discovery, and he decided that what he wanted to do was to sell something, but he couldn't patent pure platinum, and he couldn't patent colloidal platinum because it's been around too long already. So what he did was he changed the platinum. He ran it through an acid bath and turned the platinum into platinum salts, an impurity. He made the platinum impure. He made it a forbinding, a compound. Gave this to people who had cancer. It killed the cancer, but they got very sick. Every two cancer cells that were killed, one healthy cell was killed. He didn't care about that. He was selling it and he made money, and people recovered from the cancer even if it nearly killed them. Decades later, pharmaceuticals found this and they bought up all the rights, changed the name to cisplatin, and you have the birth of the world's first chemotherapy.
And basically, that's why people who get chemotherapy at this moment, they almost do get killed and get healthy. Or healthy, or get better.
A lot of times it doesn't even kill the cancer. Chemo is a terrible, terrible thing. Colloidal platinum, pure platinum, works extremely well. It's very effective. And you get health benefits from it, not negative side effects.
Mm-hmm. It's about
using the pure nanoparticles of platinum in extremely pure water, highly energetic, and effective for what you want.
Okay, so we have platinum then, and you have, there are more things. We have gold, platinum, we have copper and zinc.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, zinc is essential. It's essential for your immune system. It's essential for cellular regeneration. It is important for so many things. It's also very, very important to protect yourself against virus. They say about zinc, oh, it's so important for your immune system, but they don't really tell you why. You see, your immune system, the large part of your immune system, say somewhere between 60 to 80% of your immune system, is the good bacteria sticking to the intestinal wall of your stomach, your gut.
Yeah.
And without zinc, the good bacteria can't stick to the intestinal wall, because you need zinc to make slime fleece or mucus layer. And without that mucus layer, your good bacteria can't survive. That's one of the main reasons why zinc is so important for your immune system.
Zinc is also used to make testosterone.
It's used to make, well, not testosterone, hormones, yes,
hormones,
but what you're thinking...
I thought the most important one was testosterone, was zinc.
Well, what it is a man's sexual organs make a seminal fluid. So the fluid that the sperm swims in is also a mucus.
It's also a mucus.
It's a mucus.
Course, yeah.
And so that's why there's this association. Also, the prostate, that comes from the prostate gland. And so men that have inflamed and swollen prostates, a lot of times it's just from a lack of zinc. They end up having operations. They end up taking huge amounts of drugs. And really what they need to be doing is, first of all, taking zinc and high quality, pure zinc, not compounded zinc in Verbindingen that is impure, that is in capsules, because you see, there's also the bad bacteria also can use zinc. And if you're swallowing a zinc pill, the bad bacteria get a hold of it first and they make their mucus layer out of it. And that goes on top of the mucus layer of the good bacteria. And so now what you've got is the bad bugs sitting on top of the good bugs, and when all your food comes in, they get it first, you see?
Okay.
So nanoparticles of zinc, nanozinc, doesn't actually go through the digestive system. You hold it in your mouth, and it goes through the slime fleece in the mouse,
the soft tissue,
and it goes straight into the bloodstream, and then it can't be used by the bad bugs to make this bad stuff called biofilm.
So then you have, so that's zinc, copper.
Well, copper is also very important for immune system, because, for your hair color, for all sorts of things.
Because a lot of people say if you have too much copper, you get sick.
Yes, there is this. In fact, there is a Dr. Bill Walsh. He's done a fascinating, very short film on YouTube where he states that every case of autism that he ever tested, and he's tested thousands of children, he found high copper levels. And you see, copper and zinc go to the same cellular receptor. And there is much more copper in our environment from all the, we're surrounded by lights. All those lights are coming through copper wires. Tiny amounts of that copper gets evaporated into the air by the electricity. And that goes into our skin. It goes into our bodies. You're getting copper from all kinds of places. And too much of it getting into your body fills up the cellular receptors and we're all zinc deficient.
That's okay. So, and we need more zinc than copper, basically. That's what you're saying.
10 times more zinc than copper. And with most of us, that ratio is the other way around.
Interesting. Okay. So we have zinc, we have copper, we have platinum, gold, silver. We have more than that.
Magnesium.
Of course,
the
magnesium.
The big one.
Yeah,
magnesium is the number one supplement consumed by people. We're all magnesium deficient.
But most of us just take it orally, like in a pill.
Yeah.
And you have magnesium citrate, you have all kinds of magnesium. I don't even know the names, all of them anymore, but citrate, you've got...
Sulfate.
You've got all kinds of
magnesium. Yeah. And you know what? It's all impure.
Yes, of course, because they're all different forms of...
They're different forms of magnesium. And I get this question so many times. People say to me, yes, Stephen, so you make this nanomagnesium, but what type of magnesium is it? And I say, no, it's just magnesium. Yeah, but what form? They can't have...
Well, because we all learned we have like 6 or 7 forms of magnesium.
Yeah, but mine isn't. Mine is just pure magnesium in nano form. It is nanoparticle sized. It is the purest magnesium you're ever going to get, and it's more bioavailable. You know, I tell you what, the product that we sell has 70 milligrams of magnesium in a month's supply. And people look at this and they say, Stephen, there's more magnesium in a big brand's 350 milligram capsule
than
in your
whole
bottle of magnesium. And you're telling me that's a month's supply and you're charging me a fortune for it. I'm like, yeah, that's right. But then the thing is, here's the thing. You swallow a 350 milligram or 600 milligram horse pill of magnesium, all right? What's going to happen is in 45 minutes, because that's roughly all the time your body has, you got to break down that magnesium, all right? You got to separate the magnesium from the impurities. You got to get it broken down into nanoparticle size, so that it can actually get into the bloodstream, because the only thing that's going to get into the bloodstream is nanoparticles, all right, in 45 minutes. You know, out of your 600 milligram horse pill of magnesium, you're probably going to get a quarter of a milligram.
That's what I always say also.
Into the bloodstream. From you take one shot of nanomagnesium and you get 3 milligrams into the bloodstream. 3 milligrams from 70 milligrams in a bottle. That's why 70 milligrams in nanoparticle form, it's already in a form that is absolutely immediately bioavailable.
For your body, yeah.
Yes.
So, but you could take like maybe like magnesium baths.
Yes. And you know, best way before we came along with this product, the best way to take magnesium was actually through the skin with these magnesium oils.
Yes.
That's actually really good. I love those.
That's what I thought,
But the thing about them is that you are still, the magnesium oil is still, comes from magnesium citrate first. First they make it impure and then you get the oil out of it.
Oh, okay. Oh, no.
You know?
I understand what you mean. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
But so we talked about now about the noble metals, which were, it's very interesting to hear about what they can do for your body. But now still we only have around 10 minutes left. Corona.
Beer.
I think the beer company doesn't go very well now.
No,
does
I
it?
Think they've lost their shirts by
they
now.
They did. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but tell me about Corona. What is Corona exactly?
Okay, well...
In your view, let's say it like that.
In Stephen's world, there are two types of virus. You have the, what I call, fat-wrapped virus or liposomal virus, mm-hmm. and you have the protein-wrapped virus. And the coronavirus, because there are many types of coronavirus, and coronavirus has been around for a long, long time. There is nothing new about coronavirus. The coronavirus is always a protein-wrapped virus. And the interesting thing is that I have a test that shows that silver, especially the very fine particles of silver, the finest quality of silver, the finest, smallest particles of silver, cut through the protein layer and kill the virus at the RNA level, which means that it is stopped from reproducing.
Well, that's good. But I mean, silver is one thing, but would you say that if we would get immune to it, so if I would get it and I would get immune to it, for it, how do you say that? I would get immunity because I've had it. Would that be enough also?
I'm not sure what you mean, Hyundai.
Like it's like when they, they want to do like inject, how do you say that? Like with the...
Say it in Dutch.
Als je wil inenten.
To vaccinate.
Yeah. For example, they want to vaccinate you with a little bit of corona and then you're immune to it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the same as if I would get it and then I would be immune to it also because I would overcome it.
Yeah, vaccines. Ooh, are we really
Don't go there.
Don't get me started.
Have like 9 minutes.
Yeah, so let's stick to corona. Let's not talk about vaccines, okay? Because it's not really.
But what I wanted to say, there may be more ways to overcome corona. Basically, that's what I'm.
You know, the funny thing is, you talk about a vaccine, but there is an old vaccine against a coronavirus that was around before, and you'd never guess what it used. It was using ionic silver.
Oh, okay. So that was also silver. Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. It's patented, and I published the patent on somewhere, I can't remember where, on a website, probably nanomineralwater.com or something. And we did this. We were immediately attacked. Somebody decided that we were breaking laws, and complaints were issued, and lawyers were flying around the place and screaming and threatening. And it was an interesting day. But yeah, there is a vaccine, an old vaccine against coronavirus that uses ionic silver because they know it stops. Silver will stop virus. It will stop fungus like candida. It will stop bacteria.
But I saw a YouTube video, and I don't want to say that YouTube is always right, but there was this guy who was like, who said like, and then you get these people who want to sell silver and it doesn't work. Kick out silver. You know, they kicked it out basically like in a funny way, and everybody was laughing. And but this is always what gets me, you know, like you're saying this and then you see like a video of this guy kicking out silver. You know, what is the truth here?
You know, it's interesting. I'm going to go back to a guy called Paul Carrison, who is also known as Papa Smurf. And Papa Smurf is called Papa Smurf because he was put up by the pharmaceutical cartel to go on the Oprah Winfrey show.
I love this guy.
I love Papa Smurf. His skin went purple.
Yes.
And his hair was white as white. And that's why they called him Papa Smurf. And he went on the Oprah Winfrey show, and Oprah was going on about, oh, wow, isn't it terrible? Your skin's changed color from this terrible colloidal silver that you've been taking. And he's like, yeah, it's all true. Yeah, my skin's changed color. And is your skin ever going to change back? No, it's permanent discoloration. Wow. When was the last time you took it? Oh, well, I took it this morning. What do you mean? You're still taking it? Yeah, I've never felt better in my life, he said. You know, and that killed the whole, it was a hatchet job on the Oprah Winfrey show to discredit colloidal silver.
Exactly.
And you know, completely backfired in their face. Because the fact of the matter is, he was still using it. It made him feel good, and so he wouldn't stop using it. And okay, I mean, you know, he was paid by the pharmaceutical cartel, and he did over, you know, take way more than anybody should take. He made it himself. He wasn't, you know, buying a high quality product. He was just using, you know, poor quality water, low quality silver, electrodes, plugging it into the wall and making Lord knows what. And and then sat under a UV light in order to make his skin change color, because that's what happens. It's light that oxidizes silver, and if you've got enough of it under your skin, it will.
Always think that Lord Krishna, he had a little bit too much of silver that made his skin go blue.
Yeah. I've had that thought myself, and I wonder what the truth is there. But I actually do a talk about these gods, and their skin color is quite an issue, and it is mind-blowing, and it changes the whole concept of racism in the world today. When you really dig into that and you find out what it's really all about.
This is also very interesting.
Ancient gold too is where I go into that.
I think we should have you back in this radio show, because this can be very, very interesting what skin color means. But I mean, melanin does a lot, of course, to skin. But you're already nodding, so I'm going in the right direction, I think. But we don't have much time, Stephen. We have like 4 minutes.
Okay.
What would you like to say about Corona even more, or even about your health?
What I would like to say is that, you know, your immune system is what is going to protect you. It's not vaccines, it's not drugs, it's your immune system. And what you really need to do is to be taking probiotics, you know, whatever brand it is you prefer. I mean, Pilege is the best brand in the world, bar none. I'm just throwing that in there.
We're not making any, okay, but just probiotics. Okay.
Probiotics are very important. Nanosilver will kill the bugs that make you sick, including the famous one that's around right now. And I don't want to get a 30,000 euro fine, so I have to be careful about what I say. So, rebuild your immune system, because most people are walking around with barely any immune system in their guts because of the diet, because of the lack of exercise, because of smoking, because of alcohol, because of lifestyle. But it's not that difficult to rebuild it. The health factory is there to help people do this. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, so, that is already something. I think this is working on your immune system must be one of the biggest things. That's what I think also. Vitamin D3.
D3, wonderful stuff.
Very important.
Vitamin C, nanosilver, zinc, nanozinc. You know, your immune system is the same, most of it is the same as your digestive system. Next to your nervous system, it is the most important system in your body for the survival of your body. And most people are walking around without one, without even knowing it.
Yes.
It's just so not necessary. And, you know, I mean, rebuilding that part of your body will change your life. It's life-changing to do. It really is. And it will give you the confidence not to worry about things, you know, trendy things like coronavirus.
And this is so important. Okay. So thank you, Stephen. This was very informative, I think.
Thank you, Handan.
I think we all need to hear this kind of stories. And even if people say that it's maybe not true or whatever, and there's not much to lose always, I think, but okay, let's not say it like that, because that's also like a bit of a, that there's not much to lose, you know, like no, that's not also not a good thing to say. But okay, I'm very happy that you were here. I'm very happy for your knowledge. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And it was like a lucky shot that you were here today, because we were going to talk about love.
I know, we haven't said a word about love.
And we were going to say, I mean, I even talked to you about love and I said you have to come because this is important what you're saying. But we never talked about love. But for now, I understand. I mean, this is like a special time. So, yeah. So I get that.